Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook.
So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
What's good, baby? Welcome in here to the Thursday. What day is it? It's May 19th. I got the date on the sheet wrong. It's like, May 19th.
I'm all bad. Like, don't ever ask me what day it is. Like, what number day it is. Terrible. I need to be better at it, though. I do. I'm just not good at it. That's not my strong suit.
It's May 19th. Welcome in to D-Lo and KC, brought to you by McQueen and the Violet Fog, the smoothest gin in the world, handcrafted in Brazil. I'm Damian Barling. He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
We are so happy that you're here with us. Lots to dive into, man. Lots to talk about. I did a Kenny Caraway deep dive after a little conversation I had yesterday. I mean, when I said this is a Kenny Caraway worthy deep dive, I was watching film. I was watching YouTube videos. It was a conversation with someone that kind of sent me down this rabbit hole. So I'm really anxious to relay some of these things I heard, some of these things I saw, and to talk about a potential prospect for the Sacramento Kings there at the four spot. Of course, we'll talk a lot about the Kings here today. We'll talk Warriors. Eastern Conference Finals Game 2 tonight. What went wrong in Game 1? What needs to be corrected? COVID nothing. Al Horford's back. Derek White's out, though. Marcus Smart is probable. Could be a different-looking Game 2 in the Eastern Conference Finals. So we'll dive into that, man. We'll start with the Warriors. That's pretty much all I got to say about the Warriors. That was...
Boys,
I don't know what you do. Ready. I don't know what you do, man.
They're looking ready. I'm not even going to lie to you. They're looking like they're ready for another run at a potential championship. Man.
Yeah, I'll say this. Again, Kenny Caraway, Kenny Horowitz, you 22% from three, and you lose by damn near 40. Like, that's the difference between the Dallas Mavericks winning a series and losing by 40. Like, they have to hit that three, and you see what happens. You just look in the span of their last handful of games. You see what happens when they hit, even against a good defense like Phoenix. Maybe Golden State is better, but it's not like Phoenix is Sacramento. It's not like they got a sinkhole, you know, in their defense. You see what they are capable of doing.
Yeah.
Man, it just either it didn't fall for them, or, you know, the atmosphere at the Chase Center, or the Warriors weren't allowing it.
Combination of all three things, if you ask me. Gotta give props to the Warriors, you know, for executing the way they did, not letting them off the hook the way they when they saw an opening, because it wasn't always like this 20-point game. It was relatively close to the half, but when they saw an opening, they jumped on them, and they didn't let up. So got to give credit to them for that. Mavericks didn't hit shots, so that just is what it is. But there's another thing about it that I kind of thought about let me use a little bit of a boxing analogy here. And I know Floyd used to always talk about this. I feel like Canelo has that type of this type of distinction right now, right? Where you'd get this fight with Floyd, and you know, you want the fight, it's big time payday or whatever, and then you get to the weigh-in, and there's more people at that weigh-in than you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, this is a little different. Then you do your ring walk. Man, there's more people in this crowd, more light bulbs and, you know, camera phone lights than you've ever. It's like, it's a little different. And Floyd is sitting there like, I've done this. I'm used to this. This is normal to me. This is not normal to you. And it becomes a little too much. You know, and not that you can't ever get used to it, but by the time you're used to it, the fight's over. Floyd is up 7-2. And it's like, oh, that was just a little too much. And I think it was Finney Smith I saw the other day. He's sitting there and they're having a little impromptu media scrum or whatever. And he sat there and he goes, man, I ain't never seen this many cameras in front of me. And it's just like, yeah, this is different.
Yeah.
It's the Western Conference Finals. And and Steph and Clay and Draymond, they sitting there like Floyd. They sitting there like, ain't nothing new to us.
What we're here for. Yeah.
We know what this stage is like. This is new. Ain't nothing new to us. And there might have been a little bit of that last night. And whether or not this becomes a series is really predicated on how quick Dallas can kind of blink, rub their eyes, and like
could be tomorrow.
Catch themselves.
It better be tomorrow. Like, not that they can't come back from a 2-0 deficit. I'm saying you've got to regroup in the manner in which they lost last night. Mm-hmm. You've got to get past that as a team, mm-hmm. right? You're talking about rubbing the sleep out your eyes, rubbing all them big old eye boogers off. Like you've got to exercise that demon.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just going to linger there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take it home. I mean, this is Warriors go up 2-0. You know, the line is, that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And now you've put that, you talk about Finney Smith, you talk about that extra crew there, Jalen Brunson, those guys who were hitting shots against Phoenix. You put all that pressure on them heading into, you know, game 3 and 4 at home. Like, hey, we've got to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hope. There's no if, ands. Like, we have to get this done on our home floor. Otherwise, the series is, we're cooked, as Kenny Caraway said last week. You can go ahead and run it back.
We can talk about the Mavericks could be just like this.
That's cooked.
Yep.
Hey, he got cooked.
Adrian, you didn't go down like that, huh?
He got cooked.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Now, cooked. The interesting thing, if I'm a Dallas fan, if I'm a Mavs player or whatever, well, the players don't think like this. If I'm a Mavs fan, I'm looking at this series, I got to believe because of the track record, because of what they've done, not only in this playoffs, but historically, the Warriors are going to get one on the road. They win a road game. I think, I don't know if that was LeBron or it was the Warriors, but there was some crazy streak about winning a game on the road in every series or something like that. Like, and even if it was LeBron, I'm sure the Warriors got their own streak, right? Because they get one on the road, at least one. So I don't think you can look at it in a situation where it's like, oh, if we go 2-0, we're just going back home and everything is good. I'm looking at it like the Warriors are going to get one of those two games in Dallas. So if Dallas wants to really make this a series, they probably need to win tomorrow. I mean, obviously coming into yesterday, I'd say you got to take one of the two. Now you lost the first one, so there's a lot riding on that game tomorrow.
You know, it's concerning if I'm Jason Kidd and that coaching staff. One thing I'm super concerned about, and obviously you focus on your guys, you focus on your, you know, getting your guys to do the right things, but man, Steph didn't go off. Mm. Clay didn't go off. Jordan Poole didn't go off. No individual on the Golden State Warriors went off. Mm. They just played well. They moved the ball. Draymond was talking, you know, on TNT last night, the ball didn't stick. We just kept it moving. We didn't let anyone, you know, hold the ball too long. We kept the defense on their toes, and it paid off in magnificent form for the Warriors. For the Mavericks, we lost by 40, and Steph didn't do Steph. Klay didn't shoot. Jordan Poole didn't even do what he did. They just collectively, as a unit, beat the crap out of us. That's not the. That's not only, in my opinion, that's not only the scariest thing for the Dallas Mavericks. That's the scariest thing for whoever, if they advance, whoever they might be playing in the NBA Finals, because that version that we saw last night of the Golden State Warriors, that version I don't think can be beat.
Hey man, they might win another championship. Just as simple as that. They might win another championship, and
this one does not feel like the other ones. This is a this is different.
No,
you had the up and coming squad. Then you had the Kevin Durant squads. This one is different than both of those.
This one feels like they regrouped, they reloaded, and they got back at it.
This is the next generation.
You know, right? They did it internally. You know, they got their same guys. They lost Kevin Durant. They went, got, you know, some rookies. They drafted a Jordan Poole and found him, and he's turned into this borderline star. Man, they could do it. They could absolutely do it. And I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, man, Miami and Golden State, if I'm, you know, we got Butcher Boy coming on later on. I'm like, if I'm Butcher and Bonte in the Morning Rose, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, yo, we might have a parade coming. And that's no slight. They could easily lose to Boston or Miami, but you're there. You're in the discussion. Like, it's not a daunting task for you to win a championship. And it's got to be a hell of a feeling. I don't know anything about that, at least in basketball.
Not yet. Not yet. But I believe that feeling is on the way.
Well, I think it is, too. I laid it out yesterday with James. I said, one day, myself, James, Damian Barling, we're going to be getting ready for game one of the Western Conference Finals, Kings versus Thunder. You heard it here first.
Will Reese be an adult working on the show at that point? That's the real question. Will Reese be interning with ESPN 1320? Because I'm hoping by that time there's more shows besides just D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Reese won't even be in middle school. He's in the third grade right now. He won't even be in middle school. You heard it here first. I'm the one that told you we was getting into the top. Well, I said top three, but I really meant we're getting past the commercial break.
We got past the commercial break. We sure did. I was sitting there like an idiot. Please don't say Sacramento. Please don't say Sacramento. Please don't say Sacramento. Popped up out of my seat like, okay, we got something. Action. I didn't have the Deuce Mason reaction. The Deuce Mason reaction was something.
That was
I didn't.
Good.
I didn't. I didn't. Re- I didn't. Re- I reacted a little more reserved, but I absolutely reacted. It's good stuff for the Sacramento Kings, man. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about that number four pick. It's the difficulty of being out like in the middle of the week. It's not like everything stopped and y'all waited for me to get back. I know you guys have covered this. I know you guys covered this for four straight hours yesterday. But I had a conversation I want to share with you.
Okay.
And I think you'll...
We got another 4 hours. Like, we can cover it another 4 hours. I ain't tripping.
No, I know. It's just that weird thing. Like, it's... Y'all did this. Y'all were together. I was the odd man out. Like, I always feel weird coming back. Oh, I can't wait to tell you about how I felt about this. Like, why, dude? That happened like 2 days ago.
Man, please.
Shut up, man. We moved on.
What else are we going to talk about?
Well, I'm gonna tell you who we're gonna talk about. We're gonna talk about Jaden Ivey. I want to share with you what I heard about him last night, and we'll talk the pros and cons, Jaden Ivey. Maybe I can sway you a little bit off your Shaden Sharp take, but we've got a lot more ahead, man. If you want to be a part of the show, many ways you could do it: Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live. You could hit us on the phone lines, 916-349-1320. We are just getting started here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Now back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
You know, Twitch.tv.
I was just going to say, some of our listeners, you know, they're just on another, they're on another level. They're on another plane. Yeah. A whole nother lane. You understand what I'm saying? Like Jay-Z once said. You see Miss P, what she tweeted last night?
I didn't.
She said, I will, in capital letters, be courtside when the Kings make the Western Conference Finals. Who even thinks like that? Who even has the gall to say something like that? Except the baller.
Well, you would. I assume she was just going with you. Or was sitting by you.
I ain't, Western Conference Finals in Sacramento. I ain't got to like Miss P. That's big baller status right there.
Okay.
I'd just be like, man, I hope I get a ticket. Might be nosebleed. She said, I'm going to be courtside.
You lying. You ain't going nowhere, nosebleed. This all started because we looked up Kendrick Lamar tickets during the commercial. But we were surprised to see what they have these stupid, like, you can't buy tickets to a show anymore. You can't just buy a ticket with a seat. You've got we've got this official platinum ticket, which you get a special commemorative ticket and a lanyard that gets you absolutely nothing, mm-hmm. and a $5 t-shirt and a hat, and we're going to charge you $695 for it. Fam, I just want to go see Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe. That's all I want. That's it. That's all I want to do. You know, I don't need all the extras. Just let me get into the arena and watch the show. And now you got to wait it out. General admission go on sale. Then you got to wait some of that stuff out because they realize no one's going to buy these. Mm. And then they take the official platinum label off of them. And then they become, you know, $175 or whatever, which by no means is cheap. But still, it's not $675 either.
I mean, it's kind of grimy, but kind of smart. I respect the hustle because they try to hop on, you know, the thirst. Tickets are on sale. Oh, I got to buy these.
Yeah.
But veterans like yourself, you know, no, I'm going to wait for a month or so. Okay. Not going to get me.
Yeah, that's the trick. You got to wait it out. You got to wait it out. I mean, you check early. Mm-hmm. And if you could get in, you take it. You ride. You roll. If you can't, fall back. Wait. More tickets will become available, and you go from there.
I had the perfect seats for the last concert I went to at the Golden One. And I'm not going to tell nobody where they're at, just in case I want to go there again. But they were perfect.
What was the concert?
Chris Brown. Great show. Great show.
Chris Brown had he had a long stage.
Yeah, like you mean like regular.
Did the stage go out into the crowd?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it was a regular stage.
See, like, I think artists have gotten smart with that. Is like, most stages go out now. And it took me, like, I was at the... One, I'm done with that. Like, unless there are seats... So Kendrick's stage... Kendrick, like, had two stages. He had the stages up... He had the stage up front, mm-hmm. and then he had a stage that wound up right next to me at his last show at the Golden One Center. And... Damn. It was a birthday present. I told you, it was a birthday party.
Wow.
It's and a
birthday party. This one not it was. Off either. Might be another birthday party.
It's a couple weeks difference, but I realized, but it was still seated. It was still floor, row, whatever, seat, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now what these artists do is general admission. I'm a grown-ass man. I ain't doing general admission on the floor. Because I will punch someone out. And that came dangerously close to happening when I took my sister and some people to the Justin Timberlake concert. Now, I realized it was at the Justin Timberlake concert that I realized why all of these artists do these long stages. Mm. For social media.
Mm.
You've got, if you might be, the stage might be like way, you might be far away from the stage. Mm-hmm. Like the traditional stage. But as they walk out, you pull your phone, you right there. And it creates better social media content than you trying to zoom in, you know, with your iPhone 13 and zooming in and makes a little grainy Justin Timberlake or a little grainy Chris Brown dancing on the stage. It creates a different vibe on social media when every video that posts, dude is right there in front of you, or the girl is right there, the artist is right there in front of you.
Not gonna lie, good job by them. Way to be alert, way to be aware.
Oh, 100%. You don't see very many shows anymore that are just that stage in the front, and that's it.
But then you're saying those are general admission, right?
So, like, as the floor stretches out, what they do is they do, like, general... Yeah, like, the floor. It's no longer floor, row F, seat two. Mm-hmm. It's everyone on the floor is general admission. So you just get there when you get there. And, oh, man, I saw some videos from, I think Lady Gaga was at the Golden One Center.
Oh, man.
And I saw some people, they did, she didn't have a stage that went out, right? Mm-hmm. She just had the stage in the front. But the floor was still general admission. So the people who were in the front row had been there for hours upon hours. They looked like they were near death.
Poor people.
They were like hunched up, but they weren't going to lose their spot for Lady Gaga. They were hunched over the rail. They were just waiting for her to come out. They were like falling asleep. I was like, yeah, fam.
So this is all registering to me now. And I've never gone to a concert like this. General admission is just no seats. Just get there when you get there and you stay and you stand. Oh, there ain't,
that's
no,
it.
Ain't no way.
That's
ain't
it.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never gone to a concert like that.
I did. Justin
Not
Timberlake
like in
was the
in
only
arena. I
never Justin
been to
Timberlake
arena.
Was the only one.
Wow.
They had, never gonna
they
do
had JT in the arena like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
but wild. JT had the stage. So he had the long stage. So it really went. Okay. It was almost a court length stage. Like it was really long. Uh-huh. And it came out for quite a way. So no matter where you were in pretty decent shape.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, hey. Like I remember, hey, you just stepped in front of my sister. Like, dude, we've been here for 2 hours. Move. He's like, I didn't. And he was calm. God bless this dude. He was calm. He's like, I didn't step in front of your sister. That's my sister. Move. My sister's like, hey, it's okay. It's okay. And then the girls next to me, who they've been standing there the whole time, they're talking to his girlfriend. Like, yeah, you did kind of just walk in front of all of these people. Like, man, I'm not doing this. Like, I just give me a freaking seat. Just give me a seat and let me sit down when I want to. Justin Timberlake starts singing these damn country songs. I don't know. Let me sit down.
JT, you done lost me, bro. You done lost
me. I ain't here for it. Let me sit down.
I actually take that back. I have been to shows like that, but it hasn't been at an arena. They've been at like House of Blues or something like that.
See, John says Kanye with the floating stage for general admission was dope. I strongly disagree. That was one of the worst. I couldn't do that. I'm in the front row of a movie just looking up. Absolutely not.
I feel both of you guys on that one. Because it was pretty dope, but I don't know if I want to be looking straight up the entire time. He's
doing a show with a bungee cord attached to him, that thing going all over the place. Man, that's wild.
Kanye going on tour, you going? Yeah. Kanye going on tour.
I'm going to need to see the stage set up first.
I'm lined up. I ain't even going to lie to you.
Yeah, I might
like,
be there.
Man, I'm going to have to be there.
Well, here's the thing, though. Sacramento going to have to be stop one.
You need to give us 2 days.
Yeah, you're here. Not only are you here first, it's a Friday. Or a Saturday. It ain't going to be Tuesday or Wednesday. Like, you're going to be here on a Friday night or a Saturday. Yeah. Or a Friday night and a Saturday.
Yeah, you owe us. You're going to pay what you owe.
You ain't going 5 weeks into the Kanye tour. No, I ain't going. Nope, I ain't risking that. Ain't no way.
Oh, man.
You
want to talk about Jaden Ivey, though.
I did. I had a conversation yesterday while I was away from you guys, and it someone said, you know, we were talking about the Kings and moving up in the lottery, and person said, you know, person was like, what do you think you'll do with the pick? I was like, I don't know. There's like we're going to spend a month talking about it, but there's a million, you know, different options. Kind of falls silent for a second. Y'all should take Jaden Ivey. Really? Okay. Like, why? These are not my words. He's been around the game since he was a kid. Since not like a toddler, like a baby. His mom is the head coach at Notre Dame. He has been around basketball his entire life. he'll work his ass off. Like, he works in the gym. Like, he strives to get better. He has a tremendous understanding of the game. Mm-hmm. And it was said to me, I don't know that Jaden's a superstar, but I know he's a great kid and he'll be really good. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know if he's going to be a superstar level player, but he's going to be really good. He's not going to be a bust. He's not going to be a guy out of the league. He's going to be a guy who is really, really good and probably can help you day one. Mm. And so that kind of sent me down a, okay, like those words mean more to me than anything I can see on film or on video or on YouTube highlights. So I went to YouTube. Like, all right, it's hard to pull up, you know, NBA prospect lowlights. So, you know, you kind of watch the highlights and try to get a feel for what this, you know, particular players do well. Mm-hmm. And Jaden really stood out to me in the fact that he didn't overly stand out on the floor. Like he can create his own shot. He's really graceful getting to the basket. Mm-hmm. You know, again, there aren't a lot of defensive highlights put on tape unless they're, you know, chase down blocks or like very like literal house of highlights type highlights. Mm. But so from an offensive perspective, he just looked really graceful. He got to the basket with little to no issue. And it kind of it forced me to take some notes like, all right, I'm going to have to pull up some Purdue games and take a good long look at this player. Because right now, you know, you talk about tantalizing, you talk about being intrigued by a player. You look at the guys that Monty McNair has drafted so far. Tyrese, Davion. Both, you know, solid young men. And listening to this person talk about Jaden Ivey made me think of he's going to be the next player that fans fall in love with. Like, similar to the way that they fell in love with Tyrese Halliburton because of his attitude, because of his drive, because of his leadership capabilities, I think people will fall in love with Jaden Ivey the same way. It sounds like he has those same characteristics. Mm-hmm. But you look at the type of players that Monty McNair's drafted in Donovan Davion Mitchell and Tyrese Halliburton, I feel like Jaden Ivey, in terms of the type of player that he is and the type of young man that he is, he might fit that mold. Could be the guy.
I like Jaden Ivey a lot. I like the player, just watching him, watching the highlights and things of that nature. Phenomenal, phenomenal athlete. Absolutely jumps off the screen. Electrifying, even. Like some of the things that he does. It's a joy to watch.
He has a beautiful step to the basket. Like,
yeah, it's a joy to watch. Lightning quick. Get him in the open court. Mm-hmm. Fast break. Lightning quick. I if the Kings drafted Jaden Ivey at 4, I'd be so intrigued to see him in a Kings uniform and what he can do. It'd be a lot of fun to watch. I also like the story with his mom. You know what I mean? And I didn't know that until a couple days ago. And it's a really dope story. Mm-hmm. I love it. If they took Jaden, I'd look forward to seeing his mom courtside.
Right. For those who don't know, Nell Ivey she's the head coach at Notre Dame. She's another basketball lifer, played for the Phoenix, played for the Detroit Shock. But she's...
Wasn't she with the Fever, too? I think she was with the Fever.
Indiana, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just a dope story. Mm-hmm. I love it. You know, I said it last week. I'm a sucker for puff pieces. Right? Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's dope. Yeah. Bring them here. So I have no issue with Jaden Ivey being the pick. The thing that I keep going back to, for me personally, and why I'd go with Shaedon Sharp is this is always so hard. But if each prospect hit their ceiling. Let's say they all hit their ceiling. Who do you think has the higher ceiling? And from what I've seen in film, just looking at their skill set, because I know Shaedon Sharpe is going against high school guys, like, all right, whatever. But just looking at what he's able to do, I think it's Shaedon. Like, if they all hit their ceiling, who's the highest? Like, who can you imagine can do what Tatum did in game six? We talking about giving you every single shot you can imagine. Attacking the basket, on the block, sidestep threes off the bounce. I don't think that's Keegan Murray.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think it's Jaden Ivey.
But to be fair, I haven't gotten past these two players yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I dove into Shaedon Sharpe when you brought him up. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't mean like looked at. I mean like dove. Like, okay, let me see how over the top Kenny's going here. No, I get it. I completely get it. 100%. But it's also to answer your question, it's probably Shaedon Sharpe, right? Like to answer, just to directly answer your question about the ceiling, it's Shaedon Sharpe. Is he likely to get there? Or which one is more likely to maximize their game in the NBA? Is it Shaedon, or I feel like we should say Sharpe or Ivy?
Yeah.
And I
think it's Ivy. And maybe this is putting a cap on the ceiling, and I don't necessarily want to do that. But I see Jaden Ivy being like Davion Mitchell. It's not a bad thing.
I don't agree with that. You see Jaden Ivy as being Davion Mitchell?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see that at all.
You think he'd be better than Davion?
Yeah. I think he's a far more dynamic scorer than Davion is.
He is. The athleticism, absolutely. But even then, let's just say, trying to give something comparable. Like somebody, I don't see Jaden Ivey being an all-star. Okay. I don't see him being an all-star, and there's nothing wrong with that in his career. But when you're Sacramento, number one, you already got two guys that probably aren't going to make the All-Star team. We're just going to add another one. Aren't we looking for a guy that could take the roof off this thing? And you got a guy that's a gamble, that's a risk. I will say this until draft afternoon. I understand all the risk in taking somebody like Shaedon Sharpe. I get it. I just think the upside is high. It's high.
No, I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with the upside of the potential. I'm sure there's a lot of draft picks. Like, part of your evaluation, I think, as a general manager or a scout, is this player has, you know, if we're going, you know, 1 through 10, this player has a ceiling that could hit 11 or 12. Like, he could blow through. Like, he's really, really good. But we're not confident he's actually going to get there. Mm-hmm. There's enough flaws we see, be it in a personality, practice habits. And I don't know that Shaedon Sharpe has any of these. There's enough flaws in just his game, in translating it to the NBA, that make us stop short and go, I don't know that he can get to that ceiling. And maybe this boils down to the, you know, to go back to something that we're all familiar with. Shaedon Sharpe is like the Will Hardy or the Darvin Ham. Mm. Mike Brown might very well be the Jaden Ivey.
Mm-hmm.
In that, like, hearing what I heard about him and then understanding growing up around the game and then watching him,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to believe that he'll not contribute. It's hard to believe he won't be good.
Yeah, I think he'll absolutely be good. I actually believe Jaden is probably the safe pick.
So, and that's kind of what I was. That's kind of bad.
I know it has that connotation when you say that, but I don't mean it as if he'd be the bad pick, but he'd be safe.
And I'm not going to do the line that I did with Mike Brown yet. It's the right pick versus the safe pick because I have no idea. Like we'll do that on draft day, but you know, a day into this thing, you know, our evaluation, you know, our draft conversations drastically changed on Tuesday night. You know, a day into this or 2 days into it, man, he's along with you know your Shaden Sharp, Jaden Ivey's really at the he's at the top of my list right now.
Yeah, I think it's those two. I personally wouldn't be looking at Keegan Murray at four if I was Monty McNair. I think there's those two guys are better. I'll just say that. You know what I'm saying? I think those two guys are better and could bring more to the table. But I do think it's between those two guys. And I'll ask the question to everybody that I'll ask to Cody right here. Cody in the chat says Sharp has the biggest bust potential. I don't know how you can say that. I really don't.
Well, probably, and I'm not going to speak for Cody. I'm guessing just because of I feel like there's still a kind of an unknown to him.
Yeah, there's definitely an unknown to him, but I don't know that's how probably, he's that's, the biggest bust potential. Like,
but I think that's why. I think it's the unknown. Like, but, I think that's what it is.
But I'll say this, though. I'll say this all the time, and this is what I was saying yesterday, is people are like, oh, I wouldn't go with Shaden because there's no tape on him. There's college players that are bust every year. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got a whole season of hundreds of college guys that, oh, this guy, he can go. He's going. What did and I'm not equating him to this because I think Ivy's a better player and a better prospect. But what did Jay Billis say about Frank Mason? Like, oh, well, you're getting a guy that is going to be in this league for a decade. It's solid. We've seen him. He's a leader. All this other stuff. No, like that's the one thing that I don't really subscribe to. I don't really get into. Just because we see these guys on a college level doesn't carry as much weight for me personally, because we see guys in college
but that's what we're judging, though. We're judging what we see. Like we're looking at the tape, right? And I think people who look at give you the evaluations on Jaden Ivey, well, it's a notch higher than what Shaden Sharp played at. So whether subconsciously or consciously, we're immediately dropping Shaden Sharp down a little bit.
And I understand that. Me personally, I try to look at the skill set. And I look at, for instance, Shaden Sharp, sidestep NBA 3. Like, he can hit the shot. He can hit the shot. As he gets older, as he gets more familiar with the league and all this other stuff, he'll you don't know this because I think you got to talk to these guys, and it's always a gamble. But he'll figure out how to get the shot off in the NBA. Like, he'll figure it out. But can he hit the shot? Does he have the skill set to be able to shoot? We talk all the time about, De'Aaron Fox and when he came in, and it was like, oh, well, he can't shoot now, but he's going to get that jump shot over time. He really hasn't. Like, it's cool, but he hasn't. So you look at somebody like Jaden Ivey in this particular case, just skill-wise, and the shot is hit or miss, like it's there, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. Can he get it off in the NBA? Like, he'll just figure it out. It'll just get better. Maybe. Maybe not. What if it doesn't? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I try to look at the skill set that these guys have. And that's not the only thing. It's just part of the equation. And sometimes I lean a little bit more towards the skill set than the fact that somebody played in college compared to LaMelo playing in Australia, in the fourth best league in Australia.
Okay, let's talk more about these guys. Let's talk more about these picks. Let's talk more with you as well. 916-349-1320. It's D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
and KC continues. Streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Live on the Odyssey app, live on 1320 AM, live on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. A very lengthy conversation on French fries took place during the commercial break. If you don't want to miss the French fry conversation, you can check out the stream where we go four straight hours. We just talk through the commercial breaks. We were talking before the commercial break. You want to weigh in with another thought on fries? Like, I could see it. I could see it in your face.
No, you've got something
on fries.
I mean, I'm good on the fries. I was just gonna say, like, Jesse just needs to calm down. He said Chick-fil-A fries are never that bad. I mean, no, he said In-N-Out fries are never that bad. Well, they were.
Like I said during the break, all right? People who didn't like In-N-Out fries before, you're like the kids who didn't like broccoli, and now you do. You love it, all right? It was never that bad. Well, it was always in your head.
Well, first of all, let's settle down. I didn't say I love it. I said they're definitely something that I can eat. You know, I don't think twice about it. It's good. I love it. That's a little strong. I mean, they're not top three. Like, if we had a draft, I wouldn't take them four. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't take In-N-Out fries four. I'd trade that pick. But, you know, it's not bad. It's not bad.
I recognize this is my fault, so I wholeheartedly apologize for that. Maybe we'll put a poll up about French fries. How about that? We were talking before the break about Jaden Ivey, Shaden Sharp. You had kind of launched into a, you know, we were trying to determine how you break down film. You know, the film on these guys is limited. Jesse asked a couple of really good questions as we were talking, and then another interesting one during the commercial break. And knowing now for well over a week that Shaden Sharp is your guy, we thought at the time, you know, the Sacramento Kings would have to trade up to get Shaden Sharp. Now, that might still be the case, which we'll get to that here in just a second. But they're certainly in a better position to land Shaden Sharp than they were before. Can Monty McNair risk that? Like, can Monty McNair take a chance, given everything that we know about Monty and given the fact that he isn't under contract right now and there at least appears to not be any negotiations right now between the two parties? Can Monty McNair afford a big gamble like Shaden Sharp in this upcoming draft? Or maybe I emphasize that too much. Maybe that wasn't fair. Can he afford a gamble on Shaden Sharp in this upcoming draft? Given what we know the expectations are for this team next year.
I mean, it's kind of relative, right? Like, where Jaden wouldn't be a gamble in my eyes and everybody else's eyes, he ain't starting at the two guard, I don't think. Like, if they bring back DiVincenzo, I don't think he starts over him. At least he doesn't start the season that way. He may work his way into that as the season goes along. But day one, I don't think – if they bring back Dante, I don't think he starts. So that's the same boat as Shaden to a certain
degree. If you draft Jaden Ivey, do you have to bring back Dante DiVincenzo?
That's the question. Like,
Does it become Dante or Terrence Davis? Because
TD would likely be the odd man out.
Billy, as much as we heard about this team needing shooters, not even getting an opportunity to see Terrence Davis with this group, we're willing to move on from a man future like that?
And I don't know if they'd move on from him, right? Like, he might just not get playing time.
And
I wouldn't go about it that way. Like, that's... So when you say, can he afford to, Monty McNair, if you play Jaden Ivey, or if you draft him, I feel like you got to play him. Which means,
sure,
you can't. You can't bring back Dante, maybe, and you got to decide between Terrence, Dante, all this. You got to make those decisions,
right?
If you draft Shaden, you may be able to slow play him. And you're still, okay, look, we got Shaden. We got him, you know, I wouldn't say tucked away because I don't think he's going to be on like a Trey Lance plan or nothing like that. But you've got him. but you don't have to throw him into the fire day one. We got Dante. We got Terrence that's coming back. Davion, Fox. I'm on record as saying already at the two-guard position, I think they're good enough. Like, I don't think that's a problem. Do you want to bolster it? Do you want to strengthen it? Yes. I don't think it's the same problem as the power forward position.
Mm-hmm.
So you can draft Jaden and still be good at that two position. You're probably going to need to guard it, you know, draft, but free agent signing or trade somebody at the three, whatever you want to do there. Obviously, you need the four. But if you get Jaden, I don't think you can treat him the same way as Jaden. Like, you're going to have to play him. And that means one of those guys either not going to play or they're going to be gone. So I guess the question is, do you want Jaden over Terrence?
Yeah, I think Jaden would be a better long-term Sacramento King than Terrence Davis. And I like Terrence Davis, but I think Jaden Ivey would be better at that position. I like Terrence Davis on the team,
mm-hmm.
right? And if the truth, you know, I'm trying to think this through before I say it out loud. But that's not how this game works, so I'll just say it.
Well, that should be how this game works. You can't just spew anything without thinking, like some people do, in media nowadays. So you're fine.
If Jaden Ivey is the pick, I'm good with, like, if Dante doesn't come back, like, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like the, and maybe part of this, you know, we talk about the unknown being dangerous,
mm-hmm.
Feeling like there's an unknown Shaedon Sharpe and that being a little bit dangerous. There's an unknown in Terrence Davis that I think is exciting because we know that Terrence Davis has the capability of scoring. We didn't get to see Terrence Davis this season with no Marvin and no Buddy and Devonta Sabonis out there. And De'Aaron Fox at his highest levels. We didn't get to see that.
Right.
To me, that's not risky unseen. That's exciting unseen. And I, you know, you got to surround. We've got to get shooters. We got to get this. We got to get that. Okay. Well, we got one. And Terrence Davis, like, you got a guy who's capable of getting hot. You got a guy who's capable if you put him in the. If you put him in an offense that regularly gives him looks, gets him, passes out from Domantas Sabonis in the post, man, that could be a great, great look mm-hmm. for Terrence Davis. I don't know that doesn't excite me a little bit more than Dante DiVincenzo. Now, Dante has a ton of qualities that we like as well. He's tough. He's a better defender. And he can probably score enough. Like, I don't think he's ever going to excite that part of the box score because he does a lot of other things, but he can score. I feel like I like Jaden more than both of them. And mm-hmm. of course, prisoner of the moment. I'm not going to like hide from that, mm-hmm. but I think once you get down to that, you pick between Dante and Terrence. And truthfully right now, if it's really that ill with Dante, if he's really that upset, dude, go ahead. Because we just don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need dudes mm-hmm. that are frustrated with the organization walking back in or getting handcuffed to a contract or getting stuck here because of the qualifying offer and the restricted free agency. Like, if you legit have a problem with this organization, cool, man. Go ahead. Because
yeah.
it's just not what we need.
Yeah, I absolutely understand that. And I look at both of those guys, Terrence Davis and Dante DiVincenzo, even though I like them both, it's not a situation where they're irreplaceable or you would make a decision solely or the definitive reason because of those two. Like, I wouldn't not draft Ivy or Jaden
right.
because mm-hmm. of what it might do or what it means for the future of Terrence Davis.
I think the only players you draft around are De'Aaron and Domantas Sabonis. Those are the only players you factor into your draft conversations.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Now, Jaden Ivey is he's like he's a shooting guard, but he's a smaller shooting guard, right? Like I think in the NBA, like he's not a point guard. Like I don't think he has. That's not his skill set to be a point guard. He's more of a scorer. He's a bucket getter. But he's like 6'3". The jump shot is a little iffy. But he's fast as hell. Sounds familiar. So is that a concern for you at all? It's a concern for me. Once again, would it mean that I don't do it? I wouldn't say that, but it's something that you got to take into consideration. Well, you're getting essentially the same players as De'Aaron Fox. I don't think that you're improving anything that you're lacking. You're not improving at shooting. You're not improving on the defensive end. And you've created a log jam between Davion, Jaden, and Fox. Can it work? Can you figure something out?
I don't think that's a log jam with those three. I mean, I think what you're doing with Davion is extremely important, and that needs to be one of Mike Brown's first priorities when this roster starts to kind of settle in, is figure out what am I doing with last year's first round draft pick and how can I maximize his potential this season. But I don't think that's a log jam. I think the log jam comes into play when you start factoring in guys like Dante and Terrence.
That's fair. That's fair enough. But I just don't. Like they're all, I don't want to say the same player because Davion's not that. Like he's not as fast as those guys. But
you think do you haven't improved? Okay,
you haven't improved on shooting, and this is something that I always think about: who can create their own shot off the bounce. Look at what we're seeing in these playoffs. Ja was able to get to the bucket a little bit. You know, he was able to get in the bucket, but one of the things was that they started walling it up. The mid-range had to be better. Like, Ja started going off really when the three ball was hitting for him, and that's when he started to play more efficient. So he was able to hit that shot that opened up his game. But like I said, I just think back to these playoffs, and can they score in a major way and in different ways like we're seeing in these playoffs? Off the bounce, isolation. Can they do it? Jaden is fast. He can do it that way. I don't know how that works in the playoffs, though. And I understand, get to the playoffs and then we'll figure it out. I get it. But these are the guys that I'm looking at.
I disagree with one thing you said about the team improving with drafting Jaden. You said the team probably doesn't get better defensively. One of the things that I've read, again, defense rarely makes highlight videos. Mm-hmm. One of the things I read about him is because of his quickness, he can guard really well on the perimeter.
He can. He doesn't. He's one of the guys, and stop me if you heard this, when engaged, he's a good defender.
Hmm.
So.
I think with Mike Brown coming in as your head coach, you're going to be engaged. You're not going to have a choice.
I would hope so. Painter. I'm always messing up his name. I know the coach over at Purdue. You're supposed to defend.
Hmm.
You're supposed to defend. And I know that was instilled in him at the college program at Purdue, and he still had these moments where, yeah, sometimes he was locked in and sometimes he was lost. And that's what I hear from him about him on the defensive end. When engaged, he has the tools to be a good defender.
So with Shaedon Sharpe,
mm-hmm.
It's the position. Is it the position that excites you the most, like the need for the Sacramento Kings and where he plays?
Yeah, it's the position. It's the shot making. It's the potential. These are things that the Kings just don't have. Like the shots It's just a workout, right? It's just a workout that we're seeing. And we're seeing like these high school EYBL games, right? But who on the team right now is hitting that shot? Hitting a sidestep 3-4 feet beyond the NBA three line. Like, they don't even have those guys that consistently can do that now. And I've always felt this is where the epiphany came from, right? Like, you got guys. I think Harrison Barnes is a good ball player. I think Sabonis is a great ball player. I think Fox is a great ball player. But you don't have that guy that we talk about can score at all three levels. He can attack the basket. He can give it to you in the mid-range. And he can dance with you beyond the arc and pull up and dot that thing right in your eye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.